I think I better stay away from names this morning. I may not get them right. Oh, it's good to enjoy the Lord, isn't it? Well, there's a few things that have transpired since I last saw you folks last, and I'm very grateful for the Lord to be able to be here this morning, as I almost didn't make it there about a year ago. But the Lord had other plans, and we've had a busy season up until then, and are grateful for the work that he's been doing in our lives. I trust that you have been enjoying his presence in the same powerful way. Just want to share briefly with you about MSC and the container ministry and things like that. Steve was there. See, I got that name right, I think. Was there recently, and we loaded a container just a few weeks ago, not very long ago. And already it was delayed a week, which allowed some people to come that were not able to come the week before. And then when we got it finished, and I finished all the paperwork, the very next morning, the agent phoned and said it has been delayed another week. But of course, everything was loaded, and we had to make some changes to the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. Usually, it takes about 3 to 4 hours to do all the paperwork. And, of course, we have to make sure that the descriptions on the bill of lading or commercial invoice that Philip Grove, who lives in Chagola in Masenga, approves them. Now, I'm going to share something with you that you were the first assembly that I'm going to share this with. It's nothing spectacular other than the fact it might mean work more, a little more work for those of you who do pack some of the boxes. I was quite interested in learning from Phil that, and the agents, the shipping company has confirmed this, our world is changing, as you know. And because of the internet, because of the way people can get information off the internet, the countries that were third world countries are less or are more interested in being more like other countries. For 28 years, we've been able to use the descriptions that we use as a generic, you know, just basic school supplies, medical supplies, do whatever, catering items, which is food and other things. But they want to be more specific. They want us to be more specific in our descriptions. But truthfully, when the boxes come in, we don't open them. And we don't really know what's in there other than what people describe on the outside of the box. Now, his words to me, Phil Grove's words to me were, we want to know every item in every box. Well, that's a little too much. But we need to be more specific and maybe right on the outside of the box. What, it's not just food, it's not just clothing, but maybe there's a few other articles in there that you've mixed in. So that's just a little aside, and we're wondering how that's going to play out. But you'll probably be informed of that through MSC in some not-too-distant future. We do appreciate the fact that many of you have been on mission trips, and this is another thing that I've been involved with since 2001, since coming on board with MSC Canada. And it's always a delight for me to lead these teams, and this year again, Lord willing, I wasn't able to do it last year, but we're going back to Mexico, to Rio Blanco, up into the mountains, and building a little assembly building there next to an old wooden one, which they're going to convert to a Sunday school room. So that's an opportunity. It'll be from February 20th to March the 6th. So hopefully that is before the March break. On another note, Kathy and I have had the privilege of representing MSC Canada at various functions, and one of them this past year was to Camp Galilee. And the nice thing about it is that we get to meet other believers from different parts of Ontario. And this was, of course, people from the Ottawa Valley and up north through Sudbury and North Bay, etc. And we had a great time of fellowship. Now, this is open to the assembly folk. It's called Impact. It used to be called Young at Heart, so that means you have to be over, what, 50, 55? I don't know. No, anybody's welcome. But you meet a lot of new faces, probably. And so we were glad to be able to do that for MSC. The other interesting thing for us this year was that we met a lot of old friends, okay? Some from 50 years ago. And It was just some from Bible college days and some from some other previous work aspects. And we sang together at, how many of you know the Watchman Quartet? Have heard of them? Some of you might have. Well, Doug Jones, the lead singer in the Watchman Quartet, and I, we're still very good friends. And we used to sing together in a group called the Elam Gospel Echoes at Elam Lodge, Ontario. And so we actually got together at the 1st of September on the Labor Day weekend. And along in their concert, Elam Gospel Echoes, since 1971 was the last time we got together in the early 70s, we were able to sing at the particular concert. God uses these instances in our lives to reconnect us, to bless us, and to show himself strong. And so we're grateful when we, you know, as you get older, you young people probably don't maybe have that same appreciation. I see there's not a lot of them here. They're out. But the fact remains that as we get older, we appreciate relationships, don't we? But there's one relationship that I really, really appreciate, and you know which that one is, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all possible through him. And so before we get into the message, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the God who you are, Elroy, the God who sees. Father, the Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. But Father, we thank you for the Emmanuel, God with us, and for Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, the same one. And so, Father, we just ask that this morning, as we look into your word, that you would bless us, guide us, teach us, challenge us, renew us through your Holy Spirit. And so we give you thanks in his precious name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you like a good mystery? Sit down and read a good mystery book. How many of you remember the old Hardy Boys, you know? Yeah, that's touching back a few years, isn't it? Well, do you know there are mysteries in the Bible? What is a mystery, really? Well, it's something that is hidden, but yet to be revealed, isn't it? I remember sitting down reading those Hardy Boy books, and you know you're getting excited about something, and you really wonder what the outcome will be. Well, the Bible has some mysteries, and you know that there is a mystery, and I'm just going to give you a reference, and I'll tell you what it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 32. It is the mystery of the Christ. Now, we're not going to look at these. I'm just going to list them, and then I'll tell you what mystery we're going to be looking at this morning. Then there is the mystery of godliness. You've heard that before, and that is in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great indeed is the mystery of godliness. And here it is. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Mystery? Is it a mystery any longer? It's been revealed, hasn't it? How about Colossians chapter 2, verse 2? The mystery of God. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that one we haven't plumbed yet, have we? We'll have all eternity to plumb that, the mystery of God. And we'll never know it all. I'm just wondering what will be revealed to us. It's yet to be understood, yet to be seen. Eye hath not heard, or ear hath not heard what God has in store for those who love him. And that same mystery of God is also in Revelation 10, verse 7. Let's go on to Luke chapter 8, verse 10. It's the mystery of the kingdom of God. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to let you know that there's a mystery there. And you can read it for yourself in Luke chapter 8. How about Mark chapter 4, the mystery of the kingdom of God? Verse 10 says, and when he was alone, that they were about him with the 12 asked of him this parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay, and we just mentioned that, but it's also in this verse. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. How many people have you talked to in the world today, neighbors, when you start talking about things of the Lord, they sort of close their mind and close their ears, or they change the subject? Yes, it's a mystery to them, the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to you who have a relationship with this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is precious. And it's not a mystery to you. It is not a mystery to you. Then there is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9 and 16, it's called the mystery of faith. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy liquor, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And it goes on, but I'm going to let you read the rest. I'm not talking about that mystery today, but it's the mystery of faith. Well, we know faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, the many in the Old Testament, it was accounted them for righteousness. But faith in itself is only possible through the grace of God, isn't it? Then there is the mystery of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, in verse 9, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ. But I'm going to talk to you about another mystery this morning. And that's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 28. And I'm going to ask that you turn to it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to the end of the chapter. It's not very long. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, folks. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, as Christians, as those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've heard from the beginning that it is our relationship with Christ, and it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is very true. And we are given to know that based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for us in providing a personal relationship with him in this salvation, that what we in turn are expected is to do something for him. Well, most Christianity is based on the expression of doing something for Christ, living for Jesus, doing something for him. And you know something? Our whole lives can be busy for him. Isn't it time that we recognize the fact that Christ lives in us? Yeah, we recognize it, but let's really take this to heart. It's not something, our lives are not for Christ, but we are hidden with Christ in God, aren't we? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is the Lord Jesus Christ really interested in our energy or ability? God gave his only begotten Son, yes, to us who believe, in order that he might live in us. This, of course, happened at Pentecost when the believers were gathered together in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit. Why did this happen? Well, I believe that it was simply because he wanted to live his life in me and through me and in you and through you. How many of you have heard of Dr. Jerry Benjamin? Does that name ring a bell? Believe it or not, he is an assembly commended worker out of Colorado Springs in Colorado. He's written some of these little booklets. There's seven of them. This one is Christ Prominent or Preeminent. We have had the privilege, Kathy and I, of actually having gone to a family conference and sitting with him and eating with him. I just want to share that Dr. Jerry Benjamin, a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, travels extensively in the United States, Canada, and other parts of the world as an itinerant Bible teacher. Commended by the assembly, he proclaims the simply singular message of the living and indwelling Lord Jesus, exalting the Savior so that Christ may have the preeminence in and over everything in our lives. I want to read something. And when I read these little booklets, this really touched me, and that's why I'm sharing with you this morning about this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, today we have substituted activity for identity, doing instead of being. Religious works for Christ replaces a relationship with Christ. We have predicated spirituality on performing rather than abiding. In fact, we equate busyness with spirituality. Job's comforters were severely rebuked for having fashioned their understanding of God on what they did for God rather than receiving the revelation of God. Religious activity has become the paramount alternative to a growing, deepening, and intimate fellowship with the person of Christ. There is only one Christian life, Jerry says. It is the life of Christ. Simply and succinctly stated, the Christian life is Christ. And there is only one person who can live the Christian life, Christ. Here is a statement that I want you to remember. If anything, if you could remember this. And this is what he says. He, the Lord Jesus, gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. I'm going to say that again and repeat it a little more often maybe. Christ gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. Does that affect you? Does that affect me? See, the Christian life is not my doing what I can for Christ, but what can he do in and through me, isn't it? But what he wants to do in and through me. When we make this discovery, and sometimes it takes a while. It probably took me quite a while to consider that, although I grew up in a church. I tell people that I went to church 9 months before I was born. And I'm glad for that heritage. I'm glad for that. But when we make that discovery of who Christ really is, it doesn't mean that my problems are over. In fact, they may just be beginning. Because the Bible speaks of suffering for him, doesn't it? The blessing of suffering. Well, is that right, Lord? Didn't he do it for us? However, because we know that the Lord Jesus is living within us, we have the privilege of another dimension, and that dimension is trust. Trust. The anticipation of all that he is going to do within and through me as I go about my daily routine in life. Knowing that all the while the Lord Jesus is in charge and completely adequate for every moment of every day and every situation. See, I don't have to try to impress God with my own ability. Do we sometimes? I think many times we may. I no longer need to be concerned about what others that others are ready to criticize me because of my lack of ability. And why is that? Really, because Christ has set us free. He set us free. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ or still have not come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you probably won't understand what we're talking about this morning. And to understand, we have to yield at the cross, recognizing our sin put Jesus Christ there. But he willingly went and paid with his own life. And we are free from that burden, from the guilt of sin. Faith, according to Hebrews, as we mentioned earlier, is... Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The very next verse and the verses following says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, etc., etc., etc. And we know that Hebrews chapter 11, we often think of it as the honor roll of faith. Someone said that faith is the link that binds our nothingness to God's almightiness. Faith is a relationship between God and a person. Faith is made possible by the one who died at Calvary for me and for you. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by virtue of his dying for me, he has now given his life to me. He now lives in me for the purpose of living his life through me. He establishes that relationship the moment I invite him into my life. And as I discover the reality of who he is, among many other attributes, he is absolutely faithful and true. He cannot lie. Cannot lie. I have the privilege of trusting in this one who is faithful and true witness. That's Revelation chapter 3:14. And the one called faithful and true, Revelation 19:11. And what is the language of trust? It's simply this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, Easter time proclaims that Jesus is alive. The song says it well. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Christ liveth in me because he is just waiting for me to quit. No, he's waiting for the me part to quit. I need to realize that I must stop trying to do for him what only he can do through me. The challenge is for me just to stop for a moment and acknowledge his indwelling presence and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. Now, you've heard these things before. But friends, beloved, let it sink in. Let it sink in. The mystery of the hope that is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. I have the foggiest idea sometimes of what he's going to do through me. But I need to say thank you anyway. And go right on doing what you want to do through me and in me. What is God's plan for you and I? Does it really matter? Because his plan is perfect. His way is right. He knows the end from the beginning. Sometimes he takes folks through deep waters. Many of you have gone through those. We all experience death in the family. I just lost my father, well, a month ago. Kathy lost her dad earlier this year. Others I've lost loved ones. That's part of the suffering, but we rejoice on another sense because we know that they are in Christ and we're going to see them someday. What a blessing that is when you are in Christ, in Christ. And to say, do what you like, Lord Jesus, is simply an expression of faith and trusting in the one who alone is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, the one who died on Calvary, the one who rose again and lives forevermore, the one who alone is adequate in the presence of all my inadequacies. Daniel D. Whittle in 1891 wrote a song. You're probably familiar with it. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. As lives the flower within the seed, as in the cone the tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, his Spirit liveth in me. With longing all my heart is filled that like him I may be, and on that wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. But the world has a different way, doesn't it? The world has a different way. Remember the song that Frank Sinatra sang? Oh, I'm sure you will. I did it my way. What about the Burger King slogan? Have it your way. And what about the Christian one-liner? Give of your best to the master. What is my best? What is my best? Jesus died on our behalf in order to expect us to perform, not to expect us to perform on his behalf with our very best. What does Isaiah 64 verse 6 say? But we all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. It's not our sins that are filthy rags, but it's our righteousness. Do you see it? It's not our sin. It's our righteousness. If we want to give our best to the master, and we give our righteousness, it's like filthy rags. Oh yes, there's a cleansing. I know there's a cleansing. You know, the very best of what we are capable of being and doing is that righteousness. We can't live the life of Christ without him. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus did not go to the cross to give up, but to be victorious. And he conquered. He conquered death and the enemy. He conquered. And just before he was crucified, he gathered his disciples around him and shared with them, I believe, a most significant and relevant truth that they would ever hear. However, there was no evidence that any of them really understood what he was talking about. And we're going to read that in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 20. This is what it says. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I love you, or because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We as a church may have a little understanding about the tremendous statement, just as his disciples received. And maybe our response sometimes is just as evident. When was the last time you heard anyone proclaim this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ died in order to give his life to you, in order to live his life in you and through you? Remember Dr. Jerry Benjamin's words. There is only one Christian life. It is the life of Christ. Simply and succinctly stated, the Christian life is Christ. And there is only one person who can live the Christian life, Christ. He gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. In fact, sometimes we hear just the opposite when you... I don't listen very often to some of these TV evangelists and stuff, but I just shake my head sometimes. We need to pray that God's truth will still come through. Paul said that some preach Christ through this and different means. We need to pray that God's truth, especially so publicly, will remain. His word will not return unto him void. Christian life isn't, this is what we hear, the Christian life isn't living his life through us. The Christian life is us doing the best we can on behalf of Jesus. Health, wealth, prosperity, name it, claim it, blab it and grab it, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to make that discovery. And I trust that many who listen will hear that discovery. If they haven't already, that it's just not difficult to live the Christian life. And you've heard it. It's impossible, isn't it? So don't give up in total failure. The same Lord Jesus that took up residency in the lives of the disciples is now living in us, ready to accomplish what he desires. He will accomplish his work. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. If his thoughts and ways are so much more and greater than our ways and thoughts, shouldn't we allow him to live his life in us and through us? Do you think he can do better than he can? You know, I'm talking to myself here. There are two parts to the gospel. One is believing it. And the other is behaving it, isn't it? Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And we see that the book of Acts is not the Acts of the apostle, but rather the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles. Their lives were not their own. They had been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. They were just the branches of which he said, I am the vine. The apostles were not giving it their best shot. They were the available vehicle in which Christ lived and through which he was demonstrating his life to all they came in contact with. We're still in the day of grace. God is still on the throne. Jesus' blood is still efficacious. We are still his people. Christ who is the hope of glory in us. Well, we need to tell him that we are available for whatever he may want to do with us and through us. We need to step out in that language of faith, which is, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for living in me. My life is totally at your disposal for whatever you want me to do. When I think back, I have talked to a number of people having mentioned to them how the Lord led us out from Canada to various overseas assignments, missions, etc. And the sad heart cry, saying that they at one time knew that they were called as well, but refused to go. I've heard it with my own ears. Can we hinder Christ working in us? Yes, we can. By not being obedient to what he asks you and I to do. Discovering the liberty we have in Christ makes us free. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, Jesus said this. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. That's right. They answered him, we be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We need to make people free. But we can't do it. But you know who can. The life of Christ. The risen Savior can make a person free. Liberation and life. Not only deliverance and freedom from eternal death, but freedom in Christ Jesus to be used of him. Remember that little song, to be used of God? To sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God to show someone the way. Oh, how I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. You don't sing that much anymore. It isn't somehow that I have to arrive at this point of usability. See, it isn't usability. It's availability. Why did God use the particular bush in the desert when he wanted to talk to Moses? I believe that God used the bush simply because it was available. It was there at the right place at the right time, and it was as simple as that for God to do. Are we going to be used of him? Are we available to him? And I believe this is a most important principle in God's word. Refer to it as the simplicity of availability. Oh, it sounds simple, but we sometimes get in our own way, don't we? It follows that God is not interested in my ability because of my ability is total inability. My ability is total inability. Think about that. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is total availability. I'm going to read that again. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is total availability. See, God is searching for those of us who would be available to him. He seeks people who will respond, allowing him to work within and through their lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says what? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong towards those whose heart is perfect towards him, is loyal towards him. A perfect heart is simply a person who has come to the end of himself and has granted the Savior's right to do and be anything God wants him to be and do. I've already said it. The Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. If we are honest with ourselves, most of us are complete failures at living the Christian life. The endless trying to walk in the steps of my Savior, trying to live for Jesus, trying to witness for Jesus, or trying to do his will seems to be more frustrating and agony than reality. Most of us have heard these words since the very beginning of our Christian life, and it was simply my responsibility to do all that and more. We've tried and failed miserably. In ourselves, we are incapable of living the Christian life, even though we are giving it our best shot. Now, we're not all failures. Don't get me wrong. And I'm just taking you a lot further in your thinking, maybe. Hopefully the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. You know, there's a song that Howard B. Grove published in 1902. This goes way back. Well-intentioned. Well-intentioned. And in some sense, it's true. Don't get me wrong. It says, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh growing ardor into the battle of truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Yes, we do need to do that. But we realize it's impossible without the Savior to do that. To discover that I am inadequate is one thing. To admit it is quite another. I cannot live the Christian life because I am not Christ. It takes Christ to live the Christian life. We know that. I know you know that. I'm just reminding ourselves. Don't get upset at the thing if I would say, or if somebody tells me, might get upset at this. Don't tell me that I can't live the Christian life. I've been living it for nearly 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Really? Just ask your wife and children how well you're doing. And are you successful at it? I know we fail. But God is there in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, to lift us up and to cause us to flower and to grow. Attachment to Christ should result in detachment from the things of this world. And I know that when I've talked to many people, young people, our neighbor, who claim to be believers, who claim to have Christ, and yet their attachment to Christ does not reveal that they're detached from the world. And I believe there's a direct link between those two. I don't want to get into some of the things that when I talk to our neighbors, it's a sad story, but we need to pray for our neighbors, of course, that if they claim to be believers, that their life would reflect the one that they believe in. Just because you have a Bible sitting on the shelf doesn't mean that you are a Christian. Just because you say so doesn't mean it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The riches of the glory of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And since I am in Christ, I'm a child of God. I can give you the references later. I am part of the vine, true vine, a channel of Christ's life. I am a saint. I am God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ to do his work. I am hidden with Christ in God. We just read that. I am a son of light and not of darkness. I have died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I have been made complete in Christ. You see, dear believers, we have become partakers of those divine blessings because of God's amazing grace given to us through his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has so lavishly displayed this 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem through the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. It is he, to us who believe he is precious, it has become a reality because of the old rugged cross on which the Prince of Glory died. He has become our source, he has become our sure and steadfast hope because he died for our sins, rose again for our justification, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. without Christ, there is only a hopeless end in sight. Don't ignore and reject the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, as we are in Christ, we can look forward to an endless hope. Hallelujah, what a Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Let's pray. Father, through these brief moments this morning, we have opened your word. And we've seen that we are in Christ. It was a mystery, but it was a hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory, Father, we never even touched that subject. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And I reminded the other song, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. And so, Father, would you guide our lives aright, that you would live your life in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.